I will say I'm probably a lot less fun. Even though I probably wasn't fun, but
come on, look just at those going shoes. Out. Right, right. Look
shout
at that.
My boy Mischief.
Get that on film.
Got the yeah, they it's a baby shoe. That's what it's called. They made shoes for babies, you know.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, 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 what's up, though? Coming to y'all live here at Wild Meat Studios in beautiful Austin, Texas. It's the Danny Brown Show. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all fellas doing?
Yo, what's up,
great,
man?
Danny.
Hey, Danny.
I'm good, man. I stayed up kind of late last night, man.
Doing what? Doing?
I was fucking waiting on that damn Schoolboy Q album to come out. You listen to it, any?
Nah, I ain't listen to it.
It's dope. It's cute, man. The motherfucker don't miss.
Yeah, right.
I got none other than one of the funniest motherfuckers going right now. What's up, Mark Norman, man?
Hey, I've waited for a few Schoolboys myself.
Really, man?
No, I'm joking.
I find that like in rap music, I don't know, man. Every time like a new album, especially Q's my friend and shit, so I always want to see what they do. Is it like that with comedy? Like when a motherfucker's about to put a special out and shit, be like, I gotta check this motherfucker shit out.
Oh yeah, come on. I mean, we're all waiting for that new Cosby.
Oh shit.
No, but, you know, like, what are these guys, like these big, you know, Bill Burr, Chris Rock got slapped, so we're like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. We got to hear about it, or Mulaney went to rehab. So those are the best specials, when they're talking about the shit that happened to them.
Yeah.
And they make it that funny.
Me, it'd be more like a friendly competition. Like, I want to see what this motherfucker come with.
There's a little of that.
Because then it inspired me. Because even like, I listened to that shit last night. I listened to it this morning. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to make some shit now.
Right.
All right, yeah. You know, get my juices running, you know?
Right, but rappers don't have to go, because we watch a special and go, oh, I had a thing about midgets. You don't, do you guys have that?
It's kind of sometimes like, you know, certain, I would say not, like just certain style of a song. Or even just if it's something like too close to like your topic or something like that. But I guess you're right. We all talk about the same shit, just fucking people bitches and
right,
shooting
right.
motherfuckers and shit like that. Yeah. Doing drugs.
Hoes and coke and scissorp, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that still around?
No, scissorp is still around, but it's way too expensive, man.
Really?
Hell yeah. I remember when that shit used to be so fucking cheap. Like you could just get fucking syrup, like $50 a line, $20 a line type shit.
It's just codeine, right? It's like cough medicine.
But you know, it became so rare. It was easier to get when it wasn't as popularized. Really, Justin Bieber fucked the whole shit up.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Justin, the best syrup was called Activist. It tastes like fucking cotton candy in your cup. That's what's so addictive about syrup. It ain't necessarily, I mean, the high is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's just like any other opiate. You can take a Xanax and get the same feeling, but the taste is just like,
really?
It's the best shit you ever taste in your life. I still stand by that to this day.
I'd like to try it. I mean, I remember Lil Wayne was hooked on it.
Yeah, he's still going.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't stop.
Kind of fried him a little bit.
The thing that killed me about Lil Wayne is that, man, he drinks so much fucking syrup. And you know, that's so much fucking soda. Like,
right.
You can, like, most people that drink a lot of syrup, they get fat. Like, I got fat and fuck, you get that fucking big-ass belly and
yep,
shit.
Yep, sugar.
And he just still staying in shape, man. Like, it don't really affect. I mean, his face, he had a little weird-looking face not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think he probably had a tooth pulled or something like that. That, too, it really fucks your teeth up because there's a shit ton of sugar in
right.
it.
Right.
But, yeah, sipping syrup, it was one of my worst drugs, I think.
Really?
I dealt with. Yeah, because it's, like I said, it tastes so good, so you fucking just... You just want to drink it all the fucking time, man.
Yeah.
Then when you can't find it, it's just like you got that's the real addiction of it, is that when you can't find it or it's nowhere around, its taste is just in your mouth like a craving, like you want it so bad. But I would drink, I would literally like be sipping syrup like, I mean, every day in some sense, but it would be like days that just fly by.
Right.
And I wake up like 3 days later when I ain't got no more and fucking looking around, pizza boxes everywhere. It's just like a fucking heroin addict.
You're yeah.
Really just living a fucking nasty ass drugged out life, man.
Well, opioids are the best. I mean, I had a Xanax problem for a while. It's just, it calms you down. You sleep good. You're just loose and feeling free.
The crazy shit is that the motherfuckers that can take like five or six of them.
I
motherfuckers,
know. Like, it's insane.
The highest I ever got was like two a day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I was in that motherfucker playing ping pong. Used to bounce off every wall in my house, but I was drink with it, which is very dangerous. I wouldn't tell anybody fucking drinking Hennessy, taking Xanax every day.
I took a totem pole. You ever heard of that?
The bars? Like
It's like a long Xanax, and you break it into three or fours.
Oh, no, I've never seen those.
I took one of those, a full one, on accident, and I was fucked up for like 38 hours. I couldn't wake up.
We used to get what we called the green monsters.
Oh, we called them Green Hulks.
Yeah. The green ones, them shits used to, I had like 500 of them shits.
Jesus.
Just fucking taking them shits every day like a fucking, I mean, they were great when I used to travel overseas and shit because, you know, you can take a Xanax, be at the airport, nodding out, eating cheeses and shit.
That's the best.
Then you just wake up there on fucking whatever time they is and you're ready to go, you know? But the number one reason that made me want to quit Xanax was that I don't really think I had like a problem with it to the sense of where I was craving them and I just wanted to do them. I just liked them, you know, but it would fuck up my memory.
Oh, really?
And there would be times where I'd be taking Xanax, you know, every day and then I had to go do a show. Then I get up on stage and I think I got it.
Yeah.
As soon as the shit started, I'd be like, I don't know the words to this song.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's some of the worst shows ever played. I'm sorry. Sorry, Australia. But it was the fucking Xanax, man.
At least with Australia, you can blame it on that flight. It's like 22 hours or whatever.
I was asleep the whole time.
Oh, that's nice.
The best was I took Lean to Africa with me.
Wow.
That was like a fucking 20-some hour flight. Yeah, lean in Africa. With some real nigga shit. I was out there fucking sipping lean and shit. I had a good time in Africa. Africa was great, man.
What's the difference between lean and the other one?
What's the other one?
The sweet stuff.
That's lean.
Oh, that's the same as
it's
same
just
as
different,
lean.
You know, different slang words for it and shit.
Got it.
They call it poe. Like, poe up. You know what I'm saying? It's a big deal in Texas. That's really their culture. It came from, you know, all these motherfuckers in Texas. They really, it's like fucking, they really pissed that the whole world has, you know, took to it and shit. And motherfuckers is doing that shit for fun.
Right.
But now, like I said, you can get it for like $50. You know, they sell it in like, you know, you can get like, you know, it's about a pint.
Oh, really?
I mean, you can buy a pint, but I mean, about a line, which is like an ounce, I think.
Uh-huh.
And right now it's going for like thousands of dollars a line.
Jesus.
Which is crazy. Like, to get like a fucking... So, and these kids are doing it now because they grew up listening to rappers talk about it. So they finally at the age and they spending thousands of dollars wasting all their money just to go to sleep.
I'll stick with fentanyl.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. It's effective. But that's how good opioids are. Is like the Sackler family has killed millions of Americans and we're like, let them keep going.
Mm-hmm.
That's
works. The crazy part about it, that when you look at like these big pharma companies, it's just pretty much like drug dealers, man. They can make fucking millions of dollars and like just get away with the shit. Like,
completely.
Because even I, like me, my crazy shit is like, you know, I really love Adderall, and just to think about like fucking
Adderall is great.
A fucking elementary school student just fucking doing Adderall. I got to fucking take a math quiz. They fucking doing algebra.
Kids
are
fucked.
It's fucking multiplication.
Yeah, yeah. Kids are fucked because they got the drugs now and they have the phones and then AI's coming. I feel bad for kids. Porn is everywhere.
Yeah.
They're screwed.
I definitely wouldn't have survived in this generation.
No.
I definitely couldn't have survived.
Suicide's way up, anxiety's up, depression's up.
Yeah, but do you think that was like part of the plan on some conspiracy theory shit?
Maybe. What's the motive?
I don't know, man. Make all these motherfuckers porn addicted drug addicts. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, but how do they benefit from that? Unless they're all pedophiles and they're like, let's get these kids horned up and drugged up and then we can diddle.
That's nasty. All right.
It's a theory. I mean, I'm just talking about my fantasies.
All right, we're jumping to some of these acts, Danny. You can hit me up, Danny at the Danny Brown Show. That's Danny at the Danny Brown Show. First up, we got the Kinky Fuck. Ask Danny. Mm-hmm. Yo, Danny. All right, I'm going to be straight with you. I got a real close friend who's constantly getting into some weird kinks. He's always been into different stuff than most of us, and he keeps retraining his Instagram algorithm so that he gets exactly what he's into at the moment and keeps spamming us with that shit. Lately, he's gotten into armpits, and it's getting kind of creepy.
Ugh.
He even scores them out and tells us about his criteria with a ranking and all. We are starting to get freaked out about it. The spam is just too much, and it keeps coming at the weirdest time. So, Danny, what can we do about it? Should we intervene the fuck out of our buddy? Peace, Jay. I mean, no, I'm not the one to kink shame anybody. I mean, let him do his thing. I would just think, you know, if you're not into that kind of shit, just you should be very vocal about it and tell him, like, you know, I ain't with you with the armpit sniffing.
Yeah.
Whole fucking kink shit, you know? I mean, I think that's the purpose of having a kink, is that you keep it to yourself until you find somebody that you're comfortable with to be able to share that shit.
That's the beauty of the internet. There's some other weird armpit psycho out there just like you.
You know, I don't think you're supposed to walk around talking about your kinks, you know?
That's not
like, you know, you got to keep shit private. And plus, you know, especially when you're in a relationship,
you
know, and then you're talking to your friends about your kinks and, you know, friends are creepy too.
Of course, but that's,
like, oh, that's what he doing with that bitch. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you telling all your business, man. You can't be doing that, man. You got to keep that shit together.
These kink guys have got it made. They like feet. They like armpits. They like whatever. That's armpits just out there. There's a lady holding a strap on a bus with her big old pit hanging out, and this guy's drooling.
Yeah.
He's got it made.
I think armpit kink is like more like some gay shit.
Interesting.
That's their whole deal.
I like hairless.
I'm a feet guy myself.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
I mean, nothing more turned off to me. Like, I get real turned off by a girl with bad feet.
Sure.
Like, that's just disgusting to me.
That's
you know?
Tough. Or real like, hoof.
I like real big feet, you know?
Like you got, like big.
No, I'm saying I hate big.
You hate
like,
big. I see.
You know, even though, you know, tall women could be pretty and shit, but that's the one thing that, you know, I'm like, man, your feet big as fuck, though, bitch. Like, you wear the same size as me. I don't want you in my closet putting on my Jordans and shit, you know?
Oh, my wife's got some real pig, like, Bigfoot feet. It's like a Clydesdale. I got to put a horseshoe on there. I'm scraping it off. Crazy nails. It's a bummer.
But I think that tells a lot about a woman. A woman that take care of her feet says a lot. I mean, if you ain't taking care of your feet, then what that pussy looking like, bitch? Like,
oh,
it got to be disgusting.
It's like a horse's mouth. It's got teeth. I put a carrot in it. Sometimes I feed it with an ice sugar cube.
That's, yeah. So, yeah, I would say I'm a feet. Not necessarily like a feet guy. It's like, oh, jerk me off with your feet. I ain't into that kind of shit, you know. I'm more of just like, I like to look at them.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Like be out in public and shit.
See, I'm jealous.
Staring at toes.
The feet do nothing for me. I wish they did.
I mean, yeah. It's I guess it's a good kink to have.
What about tits? You like tits?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more of an ass man than a tit man, I would say. I'm black, you know?
You are?
We like them booties.
All right.
But yeah, I mean.
I like both.
I mean, it's nothing like a fat ass, though.
A fat ass is good with a small waist. It's hard to beat.
You see it bouncing around in the kitchen while they washing the dishes and shit. You're like, damn, bitch, you got a fat ass.
Yeah, and
wearing those little shorts, you know?
Oh, the shorts.
I've never been blessed. I feel like that's one of like the curses of men. Like whatever you super duper into, you probably never. I never really had a woman with a nice big juicy.
What?
I can't even really. I mean, I've been with women, but. I don't even think I can handle it, to be honest.
Call in, ladies. I'm sure there's a big
bottom
whore out there.
No, I'm a woman man right now. I'm with my lady.
Sorry, I thought you were out fishing.
Fuck no. Over that shit, man. It's too hard, man. That'll jump us right into the next one, man. We got stage 5 clinger. Clinger. All right. Hey, Danny, I'm 27 years old and started using the dating app Hinge recently. I went on a few dates with this girl. Once things started to get hot and heavy, she let me know she's saving herself a marriage. I politely let her know that would be a problem for me and that we shouldn't continue this relationship. But now I feel that I have a stage 5 clinger on my hands. She is texting me paragraphs saying, I just want to talk. Uh-oh. I'm worried that if I meet up with her, she'll be really upset with me. Should I hear her out or should I ignore all her messages and just go on with my life? P.S. What do you think of Call of Duty Warzone? Shouts out to Harris and Win. I don't play Call of Duty and shit. I just don't play fucking war shooting games. That's just not. When I play video games, I want to feel happy inside. You know, I like fucking RPGs and shit. You know?
Yeah, a little Mario Kart.
Yeah, you know, just some fun, wholesome, you know, family fun, you know?
Sure, I'm with you.
But,
Pac-Man?
Dating on Hinge, though, like, looking for, I guess that's probably more common now, people looking for husbands and shit on dating apps, but I just thought y'all was on that motherfucker to fuck.
I thought so, too. That's why I got off. Yeah, all these girls, like, not looking for hookups. You're like, well, what are we doing here? It's Tinder.
But far as, like, having, I mean, maybe she really did like you or something. I mean, you can never really, you know, don't look down on your blessings if you feel like she was a very attractive girl.
No.
And you think she's nice.
Get out of there. Sounds like she's on Unhinged.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that girl's crazy, waiting for marriage. Come on, it's 2024. Live your life, you queef. Get out there. Get some dong.
Yeah. But 27, I feel like they're around the same age. That clock's starting to tick for her. She's like, I got to, you know.
That's crazy. She's got plenty of time. Freeze those eggs, bitch.
But sometimes, you know, you hung out with her, and she's like, I'm saving myself a marriage. That probably was an excuse. She probably was on her period or something and didn't know, you know. So her hitting you back up, probably like, nigga, you can get this. But sometimes bitches ain't just with that. You gonna fuck on a first date type
of
shit.
Course,
so
they're
gonna use any type of excuse to, you know, to still try to keep you around and you know, and you know, maybe for her to be hitting you back up and you told her that wasn't gonna work, you know, I think she wanna fuck. So
all right, well, you know, women are weird because they'll do that thing whenever a woman says, we're not having sex tonight.
Yeah, and then you still hit.
You know you're getting laid.
Yeah.
So good luck out there. But the stage 5 clinger thing is a real bummer.
Yeah, you know, when clingy women?
No, that's the worst.
I mean, I just like to feel wanted.
I do too. I do too.
Makes me feel like a bad bitch. Like, yeah, treat me like a bad bitch, you know?
Yeah, but those ladies can turn. You know, something's off there.
Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, possessive, yeah.
She's going to boil his puppy or something.
It just makes me feel wanted, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. All right.
All right.
Next up, we got rough times. Danny, my wife has a problem. My wife's family has a problem like we all do. Recently, my mother-in-law got some stupid fucking dog no one wanted. It got passed around from one family to the next, then finally ended up at my house after the decision was made to find a home or send it to the pound. 3 days later, we gave that super sweet dog to my parents. As soon as my mother-in-law found out my parents had it, she wanted her puppy back. Then I got a call from my parents talking about how my mother-in-law's boyfriend just showed up on her doorstep unannounced asking for the stupid-ass dog.
Damn.
I lost my shit, called my mother-in-law, and gave her way more than she bargained for. We all have essentially not spoken since. Do I owe that boundary crosser an apology? Thank you for your help. Be Dizzle. Shots out, Brian. Yeah, man. I mean, I love dogs, so I'm a pet guy myself, man. So I really feel bad for the dog that y'all passing it around like a nasty whore.
Yeah, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like a blunt at a
don't
party.
Nobody want the dog. Then they want the dog. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's a living thing. And this dog is a gift shit. It's got to stop. You're giving me a responsibility. I got to feed it, wash it, clean it, you know, pick up the shit. That's not a good gift.
No, it's horrible. That's the worst thing I could possibly think of is somebody just show up. Because then you're just stuck. You're like, oh, man. But yeah, I would never give someone a pet for a fucking present, man. That's just not cool.
Well, where does it end? What if I just give you a Guatemalan kid? Hey, happy birthday. Here you go. Here's Choo Choo.
I don't trust people that don't really love animals like that. Like, because, I mean, you know, you give somebody a fucking dog or something, what are they fucking abuser type shit or like neglected and shit? Like, that's
true.
The worst shit. You ever see those fucking those dog commercials, those pound, they got the dogs in the cage just looking all sad and shit. Like, you can feed this dog.
Oh.
That shit, I turn the channel every time.
Kills me.
I can't watch that kind of shit, man.
No.
I would say, man, if she wants the damn dog back, just give her the damn dog because she had the dog first.
I mean, but I hope she doesn't shit on it, you know? I don't want her to be mean to the dog.
Yeah, you don't want to fucking, you know, I mean, if she wants the dog back, give the dog back, you know? That's what I would say, man.
But, isn't it funny? We watch a murder documentary all day and a serial killer or whatever, but a dog getting hurt.
Yeah,
can't
no,
do it.
I can't fuck with that shit.
Same.
I can't fuck with that shit.
The Danny Brown Show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all know that the summertime is approaching, our social lives can get a lot crazy. So it's always good to have someone you can talk to. With BetterHelp, you don't even have to leave your house. You can just wake up, go right to your computer, you can be in your PJs, and get all your feelings out. You don't have to hold them inside. One thing about therapy that's been good for me, especially while I've been out here on the road, is being able to have someone to talk to, because we know being on this road out here can get very lonely sometimes. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed convenient and flexible to be suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch at any time with no additional charge. BetterHelp is great, man. We could all use someone to talk to, so please give BetterHelp a try if you really need someone to talk to. Shouts out to BetterHelp. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Danny Brown to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Danny Brown to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Danny Brown.
All right, next up we got N-word baiting.
Ooh.
Hey, Danny. You liked it out a little too much.
Wow. I wrote this one.
Okay. I've known my best friend since freshman year of high school. We're so close. We're basically like brothers, but where we lived, I was the token white kid at school. Ever since we became bros, he's been trying to get me to say the N-word for the past 5 years, and I always refuse because of the past stuff. I'm sure you know. Should I just go ahead and say it or stay 10 toes down and not say it? Much love, Chris. No, don't fucking say it. It's horrible. I even find myself, I mean, that's just the way motherfuckers talk growing up in the hood and shit, but more me as I get older, I'm trying my best not to say it as much.
Really?
You know, yeah, that's why I say brother a lot.
Same here.
So I try to switch it up, man. Like, I don't know. It's just not, I just realized that there's no other race that uses a fucking slur to fucking show a fucking, an endearment term.
That's true. You guys took it. We invented it.
Yeah.
But you guys really made it empowering. That was a good move.
So at this point, is it really empowering though? Like, because The way I look at it is like, you know, just the word in general. If someone's like, yo, who wanna hang out with my buddy? He's a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? What do you first think? You like, oh shit, we about to be some bullshit tonight. You get what I'm saying? It's not like a fucking positive term to use, you know? So
I don't know, man. That's an epidemic. I went to public school in a predominantly black neighborhood, and it was a lot of like, come on, just say it, just say it. It was tough.
I mean, it's in music everywhere, so I know a lot of these kids. I mean, they don't mean no harm.
No, saying, you it know, was fun.
But, you know, I just think it's just one of those words that you just got to just like, it's like any other slur to me. Like, none of them are good.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So it's like, a lot of shit come with that shit. I mean, if you're going to say it, just be prepared for what comes with it. You might get your ass whooped one day, you know?
There you go.
But, I mean, you know, if you're in your car by yourself singing along with some gangster rap, I can't be mad at you if you drop a couple M-bombs. I ain't around. You know, I don't care, you know? But that's just what it is, man, you know? But yeah, I just think, you know, I do find myself just, especially you hanging around like a bunch of white people and you just saying nigga all day, it's just cringy to me at this point, you know? So I'm just trying my best not to say it as much.
There you go. Hey, Richard Pryor had the same thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just fucking weird. Because then you find out you go to these, like that whole Richard Pryor thing. He's like, he go to other countries and shit, and black people don't talk like that to each other.
That's
like,
true.
Even in fucking Europe. Like, if they say nigga, it sounds weird, dog. Like, nigga. What's up, my nigga?
Yeah.
Like, damn, dog. Calm down. It sounds very racist that way.
It does. It sounds more racist.
In a British accent, you're like, hold up, man. Goddamn, yeah. Man. Chill out. Chill out with the fucking nigga words, man.
I heard there's some friction between American black and African black. Is
it
that
definitely
true?
Is. They hate
really?
Us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like they don't look at us like we real Africans. Like, they look at us like, you know, they're like, you ain't a real nigga.
Right.
Like, we the official shit. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have a spear.
Y'all got Americanized and shit, you know?
Right, right.
But it's crazy. When I was in Africa, the best KFC I had in my life. I don't know why that...
It's the homeland.
I don't know why that was a thing, man.
Yeah, well, I think America does that. Like, Jews move here and they become like a Woody Allen. You go to Israel and Jews are like tough, you know, cool, hot guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, America fucks people up. Look at the Greeks. The Greeks were doing great, you know, and now they're here and they run the diner.
That's crazy, man. So you, fucking gyros and shit.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Just a landlord
fucking
with a
tzatziki sauce, crazy man.
Yeah, it's
I just hate fucking eating fucking gyros in public, man. It just looked like you just fucking was in a bukkake or something after you finished that motherfucker, man.
That white sauce
that
is
shit
all over
be
you.
Everywhere, man.
I know. You look like Mia Khalifa.
I love that shit. I'll be wanting extra tzatziki, man. I put that shit everywhere, man.
It's the best.
Because growing up in Detroit, we got a huge fucking Arab community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always like the best restaurants. Like, you get shawarmas and all that kind of shit. So I grew up eating that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude, that spit, that thing with the meat on it.
Yeah.
Oh, and they shave that off. There's nothing better.
Really good in London, too.
That's yes.
Like they got the fire spots out there. Like, on a late night after the club and shit, be tipsy.
They call it donor.
Get one. Yeah, they do. Get one of those fucking shawarmas. You're like, man.
Oh,
shit,
yeah.
Hit the spot, man.
Well done, A-Rabs.
I haven't really found any good. I mean, you know, Texas, they do everything good, but I can't say I really found like an amazing gyro spot here.
That's a good point.
It is. They do have this one like Chicago themed restaurant here, which they do them, and they all right. But I figured out the hack with that shit. You just got to order a pita on the side, and they give you a whole bunch of gyro meat in the tub.
Yeah.
I think they figured out my hack. They stopped doing that shit for me, man. I was like, fuck. They on to me.
Nothing better than that lamb. I love lamb.
Hell yeah. That's my shit.
So good.
So you're from New Orleans, right?
Yes, sir.
You ever got into like any of the fucking New Orleans like rap and shit?
Oh my God, yeah. Cash Money Millionaires. I mean, Lil Wayne's from New Orleans. We had Juvenile. We had all those guys.
Yeah, super. New Orleans was running. I mean, they still killing shit. They got Young Boy now and Kevin Gates. I mean, the first Cash Money song, it's one of the craziest songs I've ever heard in my life. It's about a person going through a heroin withdrawal. It's called I Need a Bag of Dope, Need a Bag of Dope.
You ever heard that song? I've probably heard it.
It's one of the funniest songs I've ever heard in my life. I know it shouldn't be funny, but every time I want to get a laugh, I always listen to that shit, man. But I need a bag of dope, need a bag of dope. And they just talking about how they fiending for this bag of dope so fucking much. It's like an old-ass uptown song, man.
Yes, yes. Well, that was the cool thing. It was very integrated. Like, they would play your high school dance and shit. Yeah, I saw Lil Wayne at the mall when he was 14.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fun. It was
Lil
everywhere.
Wayne, he is like the Michael Jackson of hip-hop, man.
You think?
Yeah, because I remember the time when Lil Wayne first came out, he didn't even cuss. He was just as dope as everybody else,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, great lyrics.
Like, it was almost like, I can't wait till this motherfucker start cussing.
Yeah.
And then he started cussing and never stopped. It was crazy, man.
He's the Michael Jackson, but yeah. He looks like he would get diddled by Michael somehow. He's so little.
Because he was just extra, like, way, like, his skill level when he first started out, it was like he was a grown man. So no one ever looked, because, you know, there's been a lot of kid rappers, you know, like Bow Wow and shit like that. And, you know, Criss Cross or whatever, but you looked at that as kid rap. You never really took them that serious as, like, super duper, like, MC lyricist type shit. But since Lil Wayne came out, it was always like, oh, this motherfucker's cold. Like,
oh, yeah, well, he was
one of the best, man.
Hanging with the, you know, Manny Fresh and Juvenile. So he was in there with all that.
BG, just being around that would fucking just... I guess it would up your levels up a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cool shit about that he was doing a lot of the hooks. And, you know, hooks is like the fucking, that's like the main point of songwriting.
Sure.
For him to be that young and being that school, man, I don't think. And then we've lived long enough to where we've seen Lil Wayne change his style up like three, four times, you know? Like, he had that whole New York phase where he was just rapping like Jay-Z and shit.
Yeah.
Wearing Bape. And he was killing that shit then. I feel like that's when he really started to, like, we watched him learn in real time.
Yes, you exactly. Know? But I think his lyrics are—they're almost like comedy lines. They're like jokes, you know, like
punchlines. Set up punchlines.
Yeah, exactly. What was the one? The famous one? I move real G's move in silence like lasagna.
It's a horrible line to me too.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a great joke.
I know. I mean, I get it, but I was like, we call that reaching.
Oh, really? Yeah,
that was a reach. That was a reach.
Jack reaching.
All right, we're jumping to some of these musical. Good, but you skate too.
Like, oh, yeah.
I seen some shit when you were skating.
Big
did you ever
skateboarder.
Used to watch like a lot of skate tapes and shit?
Of course, all day long. 411 and Toy Machine, Girl, Mouse, all that shit. Yeah, I love skate videos.
I've never been good at skating. That's like one thing I'm jealous of. I wish, you know, growing up in Detroit, you only got like 3 months where you could skate.
That's true.
But one thing, I used to watch a lot of skate videos and I used to get put up on a lot of cool music.
Yeah.
Through the skate videos, like Baker Death Wish and all that kind of shit. Like, they would have, like, dope-ass fucking underground hip-hop that I never really heard of and shit like that. Then I'd be, like, seeking it out and shit. So I say that to, you know, just say, like, skate tapes and shit put me up on it. It developed my style in some way because they wasn't, like, playing, like, top 40 rap songs like that. They was playing, like, a lot of underground shit. I'd be like, what the fuck song is that?
Definitely.
So it put me up on a lot of shit watching those skate tapes.
Can I just say, back to the New Orleans rap, I think... those guys made Bling.
Yeah, they did.
Big.
Yeah, it's in a Webster Dictionary now.
Yeah, Bling, Bling.
Which is fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, but back to skate.
Even the whole Master P shit. I feel like Master P modeled for the way he was making music and releasing the albums, and that was pre-internet days. I feel like a lot of people are taking on that work ethic to this day. Like, him was just releasing fucking albums every fucking month, and it was almost like...
Oh, wow.
You just bought them because you was... You know, it was like collecting them.
Yeah,
like you wanted
like
baseball cards or some shit. Like, I got to get everyone like Pokemon or something. You
know? Right. That's so, ahead of its time, too, because that's kind of how people do it now with Spotify and everything. They drop
just
a ton of stuff.
Feeding the algorithm, you know?
Exactly.
And he just was dropping tape every month. What really was dope about it was that he promoted them. Like, you would see the album cover and you'd be like, oh, who's this bitch Mercedes with this fat ass right here? Can't wait till that come out, you know?
Yeah.
So he was kind of like anticipating people you never even heard of. You just knew they was just affiliated with No Limits. So he's like, this shit going to be dope, you know?
Yeah, and he always had a beef with somebody, and he would talk about it, and that was fun to keep up with.
One of my favorite New Orleans MCs that I really feel bad about the way it all turned out was Mystical, man.
Oh, yeah.
People don't really give Mystical, like, I mean, obviously you can't now. I mean, he's fucking SA'd all over the place.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he was wild. Well, you ever heard Drag Him From the River?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole song is about killing Mystical. They hate him, and it's an amazing song. It's like, I think it's UNLV.
Yeah.
Great song, but he had a lot of enemies.
I mean, he started doing meth and shit, which just got real wild for him at the end, man. I mean, after doing fucking 8 years in prison, then come out and do the same shit again,
yeah.
It was just like, you really got a fucking problem. But Mystical, man, he was one of those rappers that some, you know, it's just come like coastal things, you know, where you feel like a person from the South can't be as lyrical as a rapper from New York.
Yeah, right.
Kind of thing.
That's
but
bigotry.
He was. And then I really do hate all the hate that fucking Silk the Shocker gets.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People they make these lists and they talk about how he's like one of the worst rappers. It's like, bro, you wasn't there. You couldn't have been there because Silk was fucking amazing, man.
Yeah. Who do you think is the worst rapper?
Ever?
Like, that's big. All hype, no substance.
I mean, it's a lot of them now because they just... it's no one being creative or being like original type yeah. shit. But I don't know. I would think.
Don't say my boy, man.
Tom McDonald.
Uh-oh. Tom McDonald sounds like a honky.
He definitely a honky.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Tom McDonald got to be the worst.
Really?
He made that song with Ben Shapiro. That shit was horrible,
oh,
man.
Oh, that went number one.
Yeah, that shit sucked, man. We don't fuck with that shit.
That was all just novelty. I got to hear this shit.
I would say Tom McDonald, man. Or any, I would put them all in the category, any of those white rappers that just try to rap fast because they heard Eminem do it. And
right.
Just saying a bunch of nothing. And it's like, oh, I'm spitting bars. It's like, no, the fuck you're not. You're saying a bunch of nothing. So I would say that's like my worst genre of rap.
Okay.
The fast rapping white boys. They are horrible.
Got it.
It's none of them are good. And I say that to say, I mean, some of my favorite MCs, it's not like a race thing or nothing like that. Because it's like you got white rappers like LP or like Aesop Rock. Like those are fucking phenomenal lyricists that don't really, you know, try to. I hate a white rapper where I listen to him and I'm like, oh, this motherfucker white. Like, you like when I first heard LP as a kid, I didn't know he was fucking white. I'm like, and I'm not saying put a black scent on or nothing like that.
Right.
It's just the way you approach in a genre, you know? But I guess it's the same way for like rock music. When you hear a black rock singer or some shit and he trying to sound like a white boy, you're like, oh, this guy sucks, you know?
Like the Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah, Hootie's a wild guy, man. Hootie just looked like the type of motherfucker. He's just having like crazy fucking swinger party.
I was thinking the same thing. He's got that vibe. He's got that cowboy hat on and the sleeveless.
He just seemed like one of those nasty motherfuckers, man.
Oh, yeah. He's plowed through a lot of white chicks at a honky-tonk.
Definitely, man. He just show up, man, lay it down. But yeah.
Let her cry.
Yeah, Hootie. Yeah, I just can't get with Hootie, though, man. Darius Rucker, man. I just know you're a freaky motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Something about him, man, just.
He likes armpits.
He like race play.
Yeah.
Call me nigga, bitch. All right. So what are your top five artists or bands?
Oh, geez. I'm so bad with music. It's all going to be stuff you hate. I like old stuff.
I'm music is subjective for me, man.
Okay.
I listen to everything, to be honest.
Well, I love Sam Cooke.
That's great. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. All
One
right.
One of the legends, man.
Oh, all right. I'm so behind the times.
That's good Sunday listening music, Sam Cooke.
The best.
Feel like you got to eat some grits to Sam Cooke.
Crazy. Did you hear how he was killed?
Yeah, I've watched the documentary.
So did I.
Yeah,
shot by the hotel clerk, I believe. Crazy. Who
There's
else?
There's a lot of foul play involved in that shit, though.
Yeah, that's true. You ever listen to Van Morrison?
I have no idea who's Van
Morrison. Oh, man. You like Van? Yeah. He's the best. That's,
who's Van Morrison?
That's some moody shit. He's very emotional. He's an Irish guy.
Okay.
But really good.
Like some, what kind of style of music is this like?
I guess you'd say kind of folk rock.
Oh, okay.
Kind of shit.
Yeah, I'm definitely not getting down to the folk.
It's.
I mean, I like Joni Mitchell. Would that be considered folk?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Joni Mitchell was folk?
Yeah.
Okay, I like Joni Mitchell.
All right.
We like, because, you know, hip hop, we like to sample shit. So you could sample her shit. Like,
yeah. And then, of course, you know, the white guy, I do like a Pearl Jam.
No, Pearl Jam is great.
Hey, all right. And then if we're going rap, I got to go early 90s.
Yeah.
I don't love the auto-tune.
I can't say I'm a huge fan of it, but it is certain genres that I like it in. I don't really like it too much in rap, but I'm a good, you know, I like PC music, hyper-pop shit, so
yeah.
It goes great with that, you know.
That's true. But like those early days of like Jay-Z and stuff like that, and young Kanye,
yeah,
I like, but I can't get into it as much anymore.
It's a lot of people don't know, man. Jay-Z, he really should be credited for like bringing the South to like the East Coast.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, surrounding areas and shit, because like he was the first one, like he hopped on the Juvenile Han remix. And then, you know, doing stuff with like UGK. So he was always like a fan of down south hip hop, man, which was, so he brought that shit. Cause you know, I feel like back in the day, everybody looked at it like you ain't the real hip hop.
Right.
Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where do you stand on, cause I love this group. I love Outkast.
Outkast is one of the greatest groups ever.
I didn't know if that was corny or
no,
whatever.
Fuck no.
I love Outkast.
Outkast is one of those, it's like one of the, it's not a bad Outkast album.
No.
It's never been a bad Outkast album. I wish to this day they still, you know, was still around, like, doing shit, but...
Same.
Like, Andre 3000 is, like, one of the best rappers to ever live.
Okay, I heard he's coming back.
I mean, he's playing the flute.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he made a jazz album. It's a flute album.
Oh.
I checked it out. It's a lot of noodling.
Oh, I hate noodling.
Yeah, man.
I'm
not going to say it was bad or good because I don't really feel like... I mean, I listen to jazz shit, you know, Ornette Coleman, shit like that. Mm. But it was a lot of noodling.
Damn,
he's actually playing live. He's actually on tour with it.
Okay.
So I wouldn't mind going to see a show.
Sure.
I think it probably would translate better for me live than to see it.
Are we talking...
Yeah.
That whole... He's
playing
that.
The flute.
Jesus, that's wild.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people known that you can just find Andre 3000 just walking around random places playing the flute. That has been a thing. Like, they'll see him, like, at the airport or something. He's just walking around playing it. And I'm so pissed, man, because everybody always got these pictures with Andre, man. He's playing his fucking flute. And it's just one artist that I really would love to just sit and have a conversation with.
Definitely. That sounds like a black punishment. Hey, if you don't get your act together, we're gonna make you play the flute. Damn, that's wild. But yeah, Atlians, Aquemini, those were great.
Yeah, Aquemini is one of the fucking best hip-hop albums to ever exist. Like, because they just genre blend a lot, and I feel like it put me up on so much other music that they were influenced by that I probably wouldn't have heard if I didn't, you know, listen to fucking Outkast, man. But yeah, Outkast is like, no one could ever fucking say anything bad about Outkast.
No.
I always argue myself is like my two favorite groups. And I mean, Wu-Tang is my favorite group of all time.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I always find myself battling between Outkast and Mobb Deep because I feel like they both have like...
Mobb Deep, really?
Yeah, Mobb Deep,
I don't know Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep, man. You know Shook Ones.
Okay.
You know that song. I'm pretty sure you heard it. But yeah, Mobb Deep is... I don't know, man. That's like...
See, it looks like early 90s.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know Shook Ones.
That's the best. Yeah, even when Outkast did they both did the dual album.
Love Below.
Box. Yeah, then that was great.
Love Below is amazing. I still listen to Love Below like at least a few times a year.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, obviously I'm not drinking no more. That was like my drunk album. I'm not drinking no more, so I can't say I gave it any spins. But I still think about it. It's one of those, you know, you hear songs in your head sometimes.
All the time.
Like fucking, yeah, man.
Hey Ya was like the, you know, that was their big pop hit.
Hey Ya was amazing, though, man. I remember when it first came out, there was a lot of people hating on it.
Really?
I liked it the first time I heard it.
Same.
I mean, I just knew Andre would always be this eccentric person, man, so I always wanted to be surprised by whatever he did.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think the one thing that I probably would give him a strike, I didn't really care for Idlewild.
Mm.
That movie, did you ever see that?
I never saw it.
It's like a movie, and it had a soundtrack to it. Even though it was some dope-ass songs on there, too, though, but... I don't think I really liked Idlewild that much.
Yeah, he's an underrated hot guy, too. I feel like he's a handsome dude.
No, he had Erykah Badu.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
They got a kid together.
What?
Yeah. You just can't pull Erykah Badu.
No.
You know, she ain't Erykah Badu. That's a baddie right there, you know?
Oh, yeah, great armpit.
I actually had a chance. I was going to actually work with Erykah Badu one time, and I fucked it up just being drunk. It was one of those times I was drunk, and I was on a hangover, and then they gave me her number, and they told me to hit her up. And I hit her up, and was like, yo, super fan, really, you know, excited to work with you and this and that. And then she just texted me back, peace.
Oh.
And I was like, peace. Yeah, see, it sounded like she was curving me,
right?
But no, that's the way she greets people. You know, she's like, what's up, peace? So then I text back like, man, why you tell me to text your man, motherfucker, shit? And fuck the whole shit up, just jumping the gun, man. So I apologize to Miss Erykah Badu. She's a queen. But I didn't, and that's how you know I had so many demons on me.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Where someone texts me peace, and then I just fucking black out, like, oh, what the fuck?
I'm the same way.
She actually owns a venue in Dallas. I played there last tour, and it's a fucking amazing. It's fucking dope. The sound in there, like, you can tell when a fucking artist fucking was a part of a venue.
And,
because the acoustics and shit, like, the sound in there is fucking amazing, man. So I would love to go back and play there. That's one thing.
Bombs away.
I find out about the venues I like, people always, you know, judge the crowd, like, if there's any crowd. But with music, man, it's all about the sound of the venue, man. You got to have it, like, right, man, because I've played some shitty places, man. Be like, man, this shit sound horrible, because they all built different for different shit. With rap music, you know, you got to have a fucking, the bass and shit hitting hard. You want to feel that shit under your feet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, but it still got to be able to, the crowd got to hear my lyrics type shit.
Yeah.
Is that a thing, like, in stand-up, like, this room sounds like
100%.
Shit.
You got to have a low ceiling. You got to have tight, you know, it's got to be like a little kill box, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too big and too cavernous, you lose the laughs.
Because the sound bounce, and it's like an echo or some shit.
Yeah, echo is bad, and you want it to be like a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Intimate is the key. So sometimes you get these big rooms, like these big comedy clubs, and the back row is just, forget about it.
Yeah.
They're gone.
I never thought about that shit, man. But yeah, just playing shows, I always found that the sound has been my biggest gripe with venues that I don't like. Like, it just, it's not even, the crowd could be there, it could be fun, but the shit, it sounds like shit, you know?
Yeah.
And you can sound check your ass off. It don't fucking matter, man. It's just the way this shit built.
And sometimes you do a sound check, and then when the people get in the room, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. I mean, I kind of take that into account. Because, you know, when you sound checking, you're going to get a little bit of echo. So I'm like, man, when it fill up, you know, the sound is not going to bounce that much. But I kind of think, I thought about it like, oh, shit, it might be, I think it might be actually worse for comics in that sense.
Yeah, because you got to hear every word.
God damn it.
Now, wait, how's the sobriety going? How long have you made it?
I'll be a year in April.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's been going good, man.
Man, I couldn't do it.
You can if you wanted to. I mean, but you ain't like fucking it. Up the way I was. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a problem. You know, I mean, I didn't like the person that I was. You know,
yeah.
So I'm happy. I will say I'm a lot happier, man. I never expected that part.
Yeah.
You know, I just always thought like, I get sober, I wouldn't be as creative as I was.
Yeah, come on.
I wouldn't be funny, but yeah, all that shit is in you. Yep. You know,
because
even now
you.
I'm just now starting to, even more like. Healthier habit type shit. Like, I just work on music all the time now, but I just really just started to fucking plan out my next album, and I've never been so fucking excited to work.
Yeah.
In my fucking life, man.
I love
to
hear
it. That's crazy shit. Cause I've always been like, all right, let me just do what I gotta do so I can fucking get fucked up.
Exactly.
Or, you know, make some fucking money and shit, you know? But now it's like, man, I'm just so fucking inspired, especially with the crew that I got that's coming along to work with me, man. I can't believe that I pulled it off. Like,
hell yeah.
So as soon as I finish this tour I got coming up, I'm going to fucking hit the ground running, man.
All right. Well, good. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Is that, I mean, I know like with comedy and shit, you know, funny shit could probably happen for you all the time where you could just pull that, like, oh, that's a bit. I could pull that out, peel it out. Is it like a set time? Do you just like write all the time, or is it just like a set time? You're like, all right, I'm going to just, when this come, I'm going to just hanker down and just really get put the work down on it.
I think for every comic it's different, but for me, I have a funny thought in the shower or at a restaurant, and I write down that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to the house and spend like an hour and change really fleshing it all out.
Oh,
so I do the writing every day, but you got to have the notepad in case you come up with some idea.
No, that's where I've been at with, I mean, I've always been like that with music, like you a fucking, be in bed or something. Then
a
fucking line pop in your head and you're
exactly.
Like, fuck, I gotta go get my phone and write this shit down. My phone is downstairs. It's
right.
Like, I'm gonna remember in the morning.
Yeah.
You never remember that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. So, you never do. You'll go, I'll remember it, but you never do.
But I guess that's what I would say, my alcoholic phase, I wasn't getting up for that phone.
No.
But now I get my ass up. Now
I'm
like, fuck that. I gotta write this shit down. So I do. It's the same way with me in some sense. I have like a just write a shit ton of lines down and a lot of like, you know, ideas or whatever I'm gonna do. Mm. And then when I finally sit down to write a song, I have this to pull from.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's more alike than a lot of people might think in some
sense. Sure.
Because some shit I write be like, oh, this gonna be a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this could be an ending. And then I have like these just random lines that'll be like, that'll be punch lines. But then I sit down, because you know, you're writing to a beat. So shit has the merits to a beat, and I'm writing to the beat, and if I get stuck, then I go to my lines.
Yes, I hear you. And booze is a creativity killer. Those hangovers, you can't think of anything.
That's one thing I do not miss.
Oh.
I do not miss the hangovers, man.
I'm there now.
I mean, it just happened. I will say I'm probably a lot less fun.
No.
Even though I probably wasn't fun. But
come on, look
just
at those
going
shoes.
Out. I mean, just going out and shit.
Right, right. Look
shout
at that.
My boy Mischief.
Get that on film.
It's a baby shoe. That's what it's called. They made shoes for babies, you know?
Yeah.
Mischief is my favorite brand. They just make like crazy like art pieces and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Fashion has changed.
You got that right.
All right. So what song you want to play at your funeral?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. Small world after all. at the funeral. I don't know if you can play it. It's probably too expensive. But Dr. John, Such a Night. I played it at my wedding. Beautiful song. It's from New Orleans. It's a great tune. That guy, he's a real weirdo.
Oh, yeah. He looks crazy. He looks like he know magic.
Yeah. Well, the music is magic. But I think if you heard the song, you would dig it.
I'll check it out.
Dr. John.
Check it out on my ride home.
He does kind of sound black. I'll give him that.
Everybody in New Orleans sound black.
That's true, except for me. Yeah.
Yeah, how you didn't get the accent, man?
Because I grew up around black people, and I think I differentiated. All the guys I knew in the suburbs, they talk black, because mm-hmm. there were no black people around.
Yeah.
So if I said anything blackish, they would check me.
Yeah.
So I kept it cracker.
New Orleans accent is, I love it, man. It's like one of the sexy, when you hear, like, what's up, baby? Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. My friend says it's Brooklyn with a Xanax.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So what was your first concert?
Oh, geez. Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville.
Yeah, Jazz Fest in New Orleans. I was like 9.
God damn, man.
You know Neville?
Yeah, I know who Aaron Neville is, with the motherfucker with that shit on his eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He fucked Erykah Badu.
He one of those black dudes that sound white, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's mm-hmm. got the what do you call it, the soprano, the high voice kind
of.
Yeah,
but some reason I feel like Aaron Neville beat the shit out of me, so I would never. Like, he looked like he got hands. You know what I'm saying?
He does.
Like, he put the paws on you, so.
That's
Aaron
true.
Neville a real nigga to me.
Right, he's a little genteel. There's a little gayness in the South.
Really?
Everybody's got a little, just a ribbon of homo.
Well.
I do declare, you know, holding that little mint julep, mm-hmm. with the seersucker suit.
New Orleans, man, that's one of the craziest. I don't know how you're not fat.
Oh, it's tough.
I mean, you're living in New York now, so.
Yeah, I was a fat kid, for
sure.
Oh,
okay, yeah, because the food there is crazy. Look what y'all doing to Zion. He's fucking, he can't handle himself out there,
he's
man.
He's doughy.
He's just BBL crazy, fucking eating crawfish every day.
Well, that's the city pulls the evil out of you. Mm-hmm. It's something voodoo or whatever
yeah,
in the
no,
air.
Yeah, no, I am scared of that shit.
Oh,
I
yeah.
am, yeah, I do feel that vibe when I'm there. I love New Orleans, though. Every time I've been there, it's been fun. I mean, it's obviously not like a big market for me, so every show
sure.
I play hasn't been too crazy, but...
Same.
I just think about eating. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm about to get some fucking...
Gumbo.
Fucking oysters and
yeah,
shit, you know?
Yeah, some fried shrimp.
That Oyster Rockefeller is the best Ooh. Fucking... Man, it's crazy, man.
And you can't get it anywhere. I live in New York. We got Ethiopian food. I can't get Cajun or Creole.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I love fucking New Orleans, man. It's just... And it's that whole the second line shit.
Yeah.
I love that shit too. Like fucking Hannibal. That motherfucker had a second line one time. I'm like,
yes.
This nigga is crazy. He just like you could just order it.
It's like $250.
He just went to New Orleans and ordered a second line and just walked around with the motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm like, this motherfucker is crazy, man.
He's got a bit about it.
That shit is hilarious, man.
Oh, yeah. I did one for my wedding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're real New Orleans. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta do it.
Gotta keep the culture. That's one thing I love about certain places, man. The places that I really love to visit is the places that kept their culture intact.
Yes, yes.
You know, like you go there, it's damn near like going to a whole another country, but you know you're
Completely.
Still in the States, you know.
Well, don't you worry about the internet. I feel like it's taken away from that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And yeah. But these places are like, because New Orleans, they listen to the same style of music,
right.
They dress the same way, they're not getting caught up in what fuck trends is going on in the world, you know. They're like, this is our shit, baby.
Yeah,
hold
yeah.
it down, you know.
Exactly. It's definitely unique. You can drink outside, there's yeah. hookers everywhere, the Mardi Gras Indians, you know, Jazz Fest. We invented jazz.
Yeah. No, I had spent some time in New Orleans just being around, going to like jazz clubs and shit.
Yeah.
And just eating like a motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
Had alligator cheesecake.
Wow.
That shit was crazy. I'm like, how the fuck alligator cheesecake? Like, what the fuck is that shit?
Yeah.
It was all right. It wasn't nothing I'll return to.
Sounds like a sex move.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing I've returned to, but alligator cheesecake. Yeah,
oh, right, I'm down. That looks good.
Last time I was there, I had the best banana bread in my life.
Oh, we love banana.
I can't even fucking remember the restaurant, but I'll figure it out when I go back. But yeah, fuck New Orleans, man. It's so good.
It's right. great. I'm going for Jazz Fest. I'm excited.
Who's playing this year?
It's a big one. Pull up the lineup. But the Rolling Stones are the big
okay
the big
Rolling
draw,
Stones,
which
yeah.
you know you can't go wrong there, but. I saw John Batiste last
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
He killed it.
Oh, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
The Killers, Anderson .Paak, Greta Van Fleet. God damn it. Vampire Weekend. This is a crazy lineup for Jazz Fest. Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys. Fantasia.
Wow. Jeez. Earth
I love me
fire.
Some Big Frida, though.
Me too.
I played a few festivals with Big Frida, and she fucking tears it up every time.
Oh, yeah.
Kim. I love Kim. Shouts out Detroit.
Hey.
Stephen Marley.
Wow.
You know, yeah, this is a crazy lineup, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be some it's gonna be some booties jiggling.
You got that right. I'll have the phone out.
Yeah. Fucking, all right, yeah. So that's cool. I would love to go to a fucking Jazz Fest. That's where the MILFs is at. All right. we'll spin the wheel and get up out of here. Thank you so much for
hey,
coming through,
thank
man.
Thank you, Danny. That
fucking
was fun.
Honor to talk to you, man. You're
oh,
like one
come
of the funniest
on.
Motherfuckers going right now, man.
I'll OD eventually.
Children of the Corn. That was actually a movie, right?
Yeah.
I've never
movie.
Seen Children of the Corn. To me, Children of the Corn is a rap group. It was Big L, Mace, and Cam'ron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
When they first started out, they started out as a rap group. And they were...
Weird name.
Yeah, Children. Because they were young. They were kids.
Uh-huh.
But they would rap these murderous ass, like, horrorcore, like, Gravediggers type shit. Just, like, crazy fucking just... Fucking shock value ass shit.
Oh.
Just say the craziest shit they can think of.
Right, right.
So yeah, there you go. They looked like, look at them.
They damn.
Like fucking gangsters.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Children of the Corn. You got to go back and check. Mace was a monster. That's the, and they all had these crazy names. It was Murder Mace.
Yep.
And Killer Cam.
Yeah.
That's why he still keep his name, but.
Didn't he go, he went like real religious.
Who, Mace?
Yeah.
He still is. I think he's still preaching shit, you know.
Found God.
Yeah. I mean. Surviving P. Diddy.
Yeah.
It'll do it to you.
Man, poor Meek Mill, huh? He's on the verge of suicide.
Man, it's crazy, man.
He's getting creamed.
It was hilarious. I watched every tweet. It was almost like watching a movie, man.
I know. I did, too. I retweeted a few.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I love pussy. I get pussy two times a day.
Him and academics are really going at it.
Academics always going at it with somebody, man.
Jesus.
You can't win with that guy, man. I would just bow out. You just got to grace. Some people just got it, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of those ones you're not gonna win, you know.
Right.
But yeah, the whole P. Diddy thing is crazy right now, man. I mean, you know, obviously it's a serious topic. It's like real victims and shit being involved.
Sure.
Constantly denying that you're not gay, man. It's crazy. And then when he put his album out, man, it was called Heathenism. The first song was Came From the Bottom.
Oh, man.
I was like, it couldn't have been a worse time, man.
It's a confession.
He had a song in there called Big Boy. It was like, oh, just reading the track list of the album was like, oh, I don't know, man. It looks a little crazy right now. It couldn't have been worse timing.
They got bad pictures of him with Bieber, Usher. It's not a good look.
Yeah.
But hey, just be gay.
Yeah, it's 2024. Motherfuckers don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know? Joe Budden's came out.
Once he came out,
anybody could be gay if Joe Budden gay.
Exactly.
Pete Diddles. He said he's bisexual or some shit, but yeah.
That's a good transition. You got to start bi and then just come out full gay eventually.
It's like once Joe Budden did it, it don't even matter no more. So it's over.
Taking it up the button.
All right.
There we go.
We out of here. But you got some shit you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. I got a podcast, We Might Be Drunk. I got Tuesdays with Stories. I'm all over the road. I'm coming to your town, folks. MarkNormanComedy.com.
All right, man. Love you, motherfucker. See you same time, same channel. Peace.